All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome here. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2 with me this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 2. And we're going to begin in verse 8 and go down through to verse 18. And so if you found your place and you're able to stand, please stand with me as we read God's word and open in prayer as we look into this situation with these shepherds abiding in the field. Here in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Let's pray. Father God, give us understanding this morning. Help us look into this moment that we can glean thy truth from it and be encouraged in our hearts as we look to thy wonderful gift toward men. And Lord, just be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. And so the title of the message this morning is Shepherds Receive a Message of Joy. A historical event, an exciting event, keeping in mind, again, context and application. The context here, the nation of Israel had, you know, through many centuries, they had prophets coming and all pointing to the Messiah. Isaiah in particular, so many verses pointing forward to Messiah, but there had been nothing for about 400 years at this point. And so this long period of silence was a period of waiting, and yet now we're seeing in this dark place a light is sprung up. And so much we could say about the events surrounding the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted to focus on this one passage that we might also be encouraged in it. And so it says here in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Interesting that that God came to the shepherds. God came to David also, who was a shepherd. Moses also was tending his father's flock. It seems that God has a use for these shepherds. You know, it's an interesting corollary throughout the scripture. And then we see also the picture of a shepherd and his sheep throughout. But we find that he sent this angel of the Lord to the shepherds here. It says, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." And I think we can all understand that. If you were in the field, you know, again, nothing prophetic, no miracles of God for multiple generations. Suddenly to have an angel of the Lord appear, I think it's completely reasonable that they would be afraid, not knowing the meaning of what was happening. And yet, immediately it says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I would say, just again, I put myself in their shoes. That would be a huge relief. You know, if they would probably understand the scripture, no man could see God and live. And so not understanding, you know, is this the Lord appearing? The glory of the Lord is there. And is this it for me? And yet, no. God had a special message for them, an amazing message. And so he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so he comes to these lowly shepherds. Notice he doesn't appear, and we don't see anywhere in the scripture that that an angel of the Lord appeared, or that God spoke to the Pharisees, or to the chief priests. And we understand as we look through the gospel that there was a hardness there. There was a hardness in self-righteous religion. Even Jesus upbraided them, saying, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so God did not choose to reveal this coming, this Emmanuel, God with us, to those that had the religious credentials of the day. He came to these lowly shepherds, those, not to those who would not receive it, who would receive it in self-righteousness and doubt, but to the humble. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And it's no different today. The grace of God is proclaimed throughout the world in the preaching of the gospel. And yet, if it falls upon the ears of the self-righteous sinner who finds themselves in man's religion trying to build their own ladder to God, it falls upon deaf ears. They have ears and they can't hear the message. And yet for those who will humble themselves and receive the message, there's a tremendous blessing. As he said, it's good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's the substance of the message. Good tidings of great joy, it says, to all people. This has always been plan A. We understand that Jesus Christ was in the line of David. He was born a Jew. He went to minister to the Jewish nation. As the Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We have a verse right above me, Isaiah 45:22. Old Testament verse says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." That's always been plan A, Jesus Christ coming to save the world. It says here, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that is good message to, that is a message of joy to all people, because that gift that God is sending in the flesh, sending his son in the flesh, is for all men. As Romans chapter 10 tells us, starting in verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith, which we preach, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And just as the lady sang, born to die, the coming of the Messiah was the giving of a gift that would be that sacrifice that would take away their sin. And those that looked in faith were waiting for that sacrifice that would come and not just cover their sin for a time, as the nation of Israel had done with sacrifices for many, many generations, but would put it away once and for all. And so the substance of the message here is to all people. There's nobody in this room that is outside of the grace of God. Opportunity is there. God loves every man, every woman, every child equally. God is no respecter of persons. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it's an offering for all. And what is that offering? He says it here, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is God. That's prophetically Emmanuel, God with us. John tells us that the Word, which is Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is a peculiar thing in world history. God, who made the world, had this plan from the beginning, knowing the end from the beginning. But this is the moment when it's come to pass. That promise, thousands of years in the making, all the prophets pointed to Jesus Christ. And now here's the moment. I mean, it's hard for us, you know, in this busy day and age to understand how significant and how amazing and how exciting this moment would have been to just out of the dark sky to be informed that now is the time. This is something that the scriptures have been pointing to, and that promise was there, and they were wondering who would that Messiah be. And they were told plainly, it wasn't given to them as some great mystery. The mystery was now being revealed, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Emmanuel, God with man, a Savior, bringing goodwill and peace, as he says here. He gives them a sign. He tells them where to find the baby. And then, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what Jesus brings. He brings peace. As Romans chapter 5 says, beginning in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so peace with God is offered, but the only way to have that peace is through Jesus Christ. It says in verse 2 of that same chapter, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What an exciting thing to have the hope of the resurrection. And that's not the world's kind of hope, a cross fingers hope, where, oh boy, I sure hope this happens. No, this is a certainty. Biblical hope is a confident hope. As Paul said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. To be persuaded, to have a confident hope that is built upon faith, believing the words of God and trusting that what God said he would do, that he will do. And so, goodwill and peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here at this, during the Christmas season, we understand what gifts are. I dare say most, if not all of us, have prepared some form of gift at this time. And so we understand what a gift is, being something that someone else has purchased and is offering to us freely. And we understand that the only way to rightly receive a gift is to receive it with gratitude and thankfulness. We certainly wouldn't offer money for a gift. That would be quite offensive. And here, God is announcing to these shepherds that he is giving them the most amazing gift, a Savior, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God himself. And it will be paid for by God himself, something to be received with joy. And so, just as salvation for us today is to be received, so this message, they had to receive it. You know, of course, the shepherds, having heard all of this and the shock of the angel singing, I mean, they could have just scattered every direction, just running and hiding. You know, if they didn't believe what was said. If they were in doubt and they thought, no, clearly this has got to be bad, I'm out of here, and just take off, they could have done that. But we see that they received the message. They received it by faith. Again, faith is where we trust God's word. And so they don't react by fleeing. Instead, the angels sing here, and then it says in verse 15 of our text, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And so that's the evidence of their faith. They acted upon it. And that's true for us too. People can tell what we believe by how we behave. If we act according to God's word, because we believe God's word, it's evidenced in our behavior. And so we see here they say, let us go now. Now, of course, it says, you know, they waited until the angels were done singing, which is wise, I'm sure. But immediately after that, they said, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem. Now, they came with haste. You know, it's one thing to hear it. They heard the message, but they wanted to go and see with their own eyes this promise from God. And it wasn't that they were going in doubt, saying, well, I won't believe it until I see it. That's not the attitude that they had. It was not of doubt, but they wanted to see it with confidence. They had heard a joyful message, and now they wanted to see it and increase their joy. And how do we know that? Well, because of what they said. They didn't say, let's go see if this thing has come to pass. Or let's go see if this thing be so. They said, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. Do you see the difference? That is the heart of faith. Let's go see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us, acknowledging the truth of God's word. And so it says, this thing which is come to pass, that is a position of faith. And we understand Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when we seek to know the Savior, he absolutely is going to answer that desire. If we want to know the truth, he is going to show us the truth. And so here they are on their way, coming to see the babe and have that joy. You know, Jesus himself called people to come unto him. In Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But we must respond in faith. And so he says, they're saying, let us go now. And they came with haste. Now, they didn't know if the child would be there if they delayed. I mean, the angel told them that that the child was there. He says, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. But can I say this? They didn't presume upon their opportunity. They didn't hear that and say, okay, well, as soon as I can fit this into my schedule, you know, we're quite busy here moving our flocks around. You know, it would have been late summer. You know, they're working their flocks. Well, you know, it's busy right now. Maybe next month I'll make it back into town. No, they didn't assume that they would have that opportunity. They went with haste. And to me, that's a challenge to us. When you hear the word of God, when you hear the truth, when you hear of the gift, when the promise is given, don't presume upon God's mercy for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 and following says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, speaking back to the nation of Israel as an example of that. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And so these shepherds had heard the word of truth. They had heard this word from God himself that the Savior was here, and they weren't delaying. They immediately acted upon it. And so we can find encouragement and a challenge in that when we hear the word of God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, as you sit here and listen to the sound of my voice, understand Jesus Christ died for you. He died for your sin. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to set you free from the bondage of sin in your life and to give you a home in heaven, to adopt you into his family, not because you're good, because you're not, and neither am I, but because God is good and Jesus Christ is holy and righteous, and he died in your place. He gave that gift that is given freely as a gift, as any good gift is, but at such tremendous cost, you couldn't even hope for a moment to cover the cost of it with your good works. And so it must be received by faith. And so I want to encourage you, if you understand that you're lost, and you must understand you're lost before you'll seek salvation, that you would then not ignore that, not suppress that. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and respond to that today. Do not wait until tomorrow. We can't presume upon tomorrow. And so they didn't. They came and they saw. It says here, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Seek and ye shall find, the Bible says. And so they went. And it says then, so firstly, they got the message. Secondly, they received that message. And then thirdly, having received the message and seen it and knowing, having not just by faith, but even by sight, seeing, yes, it's true, they made it known. Luke 2:17 and 18, it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And so the shepherds understood the significance of the message and the reality that the Savior had arrived. They wanted others to know about it so that they could share in the joy. And that's an exciting thing. When we think of these shepherds, again, these were not men of status. They had no political currency. This is just the heart of a good conscience, where they have now seen something so amazing, so miraculous, that finally the Messiah has come. Christ, the Anointed One, God with us. They just wanted to tell people. And that is the reaction when you have understood the message of God to you, that a gift has been given, the Lord Jesus, who was born to die, who died for you, and you receive it, and you are born again, the term is, to be made alive in Christ, to pass from death in your trespasses and sins to forgiveness and life in Christ. That is amazing peace and joy in the Lord. And that's not something that you want to just keep to yourself. That makes no sense at all. To receive the most valuable thing that you could ever receive in all the universe and then just keep silent about it? It makes no sense. And so these men made it known. We see that throughout the scriptures when people would meet Jesus and he would transform them from the inside out. They were changed people, and they were people who suddenly had a compassion for their neighbor. Again, the love of God was spread abroad in their hearts. I think of the we call him the demoniac of Gadara. You know, he was cutting himself in the rocks. He was in a really bad way, and nobody would even go near him because he was just a crazy man. And yet, when the Lord Jesus came and healed him, he was there sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and he just wanted to be with Jesus. And it says here in Mark 5:19 and 20, it says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And it says, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." And we see that same reaction here with the shepherds. It says that they they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so this is even before John the Baptist began his ministry of preaching repentance. There was this light sprung up. It was like the entrance, the wake-up call saying, he's here, and here's these people. It's being noised abroad in the around Bethlehem and in that region that the Christ is here, the Savior is here. And so what an exciting thing. So just three things as we close here this morning. The question that I have, three questions. The first is, have you gotten the message from the Lord? A Savior has come. That is Christ the Lord. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I believe that Paul called himself the chief of sinners because he knew what was going on in his heart. You know, he couldn't speak to what was happening in the heart of those around him, but he knew if he looked into his own heart that he was the chief of sinners. And I think that's true. I don't know what's really going on in the heart of anyone else here, but I know what's going on in my heart. And I know the battle that's raging there as God desires to rule and reign in my heart in the spirit, and yet the flesh desires its own way, the pride, the ego, all of those things are there. And there's a turmoil. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. But when we hear that message that we have the opportunity, I remember when I heard that message 17 years ago, that there was a Savior, that I was dead in my sins, but a Savior had been given, and I needed to trust in Him. I not put trust in my own religion, not put trust in my own quote-unquote goodness, but abandon hope in that and put my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for me. Have you gotten that message? And if you have gotten it, have you received it as these men did? Are you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You either are or you are not. There's no 50-50 or 90-10 or 99-1%. You know, well, 99% I believe that He died, but I'm going to do this 1% good works, you know, because I want God to be happy and let me into heaven. No, 1% good works is 0% salvation. If you try and work your way into heaven, you will not go there. He has given it as a gift. That's why He says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Because when we try and compensate for what God has done in sending His only Son to die in our place and say, well, I'd like to offer my life of good works in exchange for your Son, that's a great offense to God, because Jesus Christ is holy and perfect and we are not. And so our good works can never, ever measure up. You'll not, with 10 lives of good works, you'll not buy 1 second in heaven. And so are you believing on Christ alone? You can know that for sure if we're trusting anything other than Christ for our entrance into heaven. Then we know that we've added to salvation and thus nullified it. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When men came to Him to find out what the works of God would be to please God, they said, what should we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He has sent. And so that is what salvation is. Hearing that message from God, the gospel that is preached, allowing it to penetrate your heart, receiving it by faith, and then placing your trust in Jesus Christ as the one that can wash away all your sins. And if we will look to Him by faith, He will save us. He says, all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. As we read before in Romans, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness in Romans 10:10. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. God is looking upon your heart. And He knows if you're trusting in Him alone or if you're trusting in Him plus whatever it is you think you've done religiously to earn salvation. And so He wants you to trust in Him alone. And then if you are saved today, and if you are, praise God, that's exciting. Then you can know the joy of the Lord. You can have entrance into the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. He has become your mediator. He is the only mediator between God and men. The question then is, are you making it known abroad? Has that joy made a difference in your heart and life where you want others to have that joy? Are you opening your mouth and bringing glad tidings of good things? As Romans 10:15 that we talked about in the introduction, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And I just think of these shepherds when they had seen this joyous and wonderful thing, this this message, as the angel said, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. They went out and made it known abroad. Are we making it known abroad? You know, we have opportunity. It's a great thing. You know, and again, in the flesh, there are people that don't want to hear that message. They believe they've done enough religiously. They have their religion and they've done their works. And they think that that will account on the day of reckoning to give them entrance into heaven. Unfortunately, God's word plainly declares that they will be rejected, that they will not be accepted. And so that's a hard thing to hear. It feels very judgmental to hear that you must trust in Christ alone or you cannot be saved, and yet that is the truth. And we in our pride must look to that in its face, reject our false ideas, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's difficult when we bring that abroad. People don't want to hear it. The Lord Jesus made it plain. If they hate you, know that they hated me before they hate you. And why did they hate him? He says, because they knew not my Father. And so take heart. Allow the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart and make it known abroad that the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has been born. And not only born, but he lived a sinless life and he died in your place. That is the message that we have for this world. That's our only message, Christ and him crucified. That's what we need to be about each and every day, shedding that love abroad that others can know. And what a wonderful thing. You know, we talk often when we share the gospel, 10,000 for the one. I mean, I would gladly speak to 10,000 people that just one would hear it and receive it and have everlasting life. Even if I never had opportunity to see them again, I know that one day I would see them in heaven and they would enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ, as will I. And so what a wonderful thing. You, just by opening your mouth with the gospel, can help somebody to know the truth of God's word and pass from death into everlasting life. There's nothing greater than that. And so my encouragement is, shed it abroad. Jesus Christ was born and he died in your place. What a message, particularly at this time, as you know, the whole Christmas and all that's tied into it, so much, you know, holdover of paganism and all of the commercialism and all of that. And yet we know that Christ was born. We know he wasn't born in December. That's not the point. The point is, he was born and he was born to die for you. And so over the din of this confusion, can we have a clear trumpet note that cries out in this time saying, look to the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this time to look into thy word, to see this wonderful message that you sent by way of the angel to the shepherds. Lord, that we also would see the message in thy word and that we would believe it. And receive the salvation that you've offered. Lord, those of us that are saved, that you would encourage our hearts to spread it abroad, that we might help others to know that same joy and salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. We pray that you would do your work in our hearts even now, that we would have a desire to follow thy will and follow thy way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.